super pumped to be with you guys today. I'm going to be talking about just some keys to getting over the hump of discovering your purpose and living your purpose. I'll be talking about the keys that are actually in my book. And so if you guys have not, I mean, I'm assuming you're here in the group because you've downloaded my book or you've got an actual copy of the book. And if you don't have a hard copy of the book, it's actually a really, feels really good, like one of those really good books that has a good feel. It's got, you know, nice size type in it. So sometimes, I don't know, I like a real book. You can go over to Amazon and get a copy of the book. But I'm going to pray and then we're going to jump in and we're just going to talk about really just the process that I walk my students through. And I obviously walk my readers through in my book to get really, really, really clear about their life purpose and honestly put a compass in their hand so that they are, you know how to get started and know where to begin to transition into living it. Hey, Lori. Hey, you guys. And so let me pray and then we'll hop in. All right. So Father, I thank you for this group. I thank you for every single person that you've drawn here. I thank you for all of the folks that are going to be watching the Facebook Live and then watching the replay. I thank you that this is a divine appointment on our calendar today. And so Holy Spirit, I just acknowledge you. Thank you for just your presence in our lives and your help and your direction and just the truth that you lead and guide us into. Thank you that you love showing us the future. That's what it says in John 16. And thank you that you just love your job of helping us renew our minds and think with the mind of Christ and just manifest all that Jesus has accomplished on the cross. And so, Holy Spirit, I just ask you to really help us, really help us today get into the space where we need to be, whether that's taking a next step towards our purpose, if we're already in our purpose, knowing exactly the next step to take towards fulfilling it, if there are obstacles and challenges in our way that seem to have us stuck, help us know what to do to partner with you so that you can, you know, we can speak to that thing and get it out of the way or renew our minds or whatever we need to do to move forward. I just declare that this live today is going to be a breakthrough. It's going to be a breakthrough for folks. And we just give you all the glory and all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, awesome. I want to jump off today in an awesome scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I have been in 1 Corinthians lately in chapter 2. It's like I keep going back to it and I really love it, especially, you know me, I love it in the Passion Translation. So I'm going to start reading in verse 6, and it talks about the little subcaption there at the top of it. It says, wisdom from God. And here's what it says. How it says, let me back up just because so it kind of comes into that. Let's start in verse 4. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the church at Corinth, and he was talking about his visit to them. Hi, Cassie. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome, welcome. But here in the, you know, the fourth verse, it says this, the message I preached and how I preached it was not an attempt to sway you with persuasive arguments, but to prove to you the almighty power of God's Holy Spirit. So that's awesome. We just were talking to Holy Spirit when we were praying a moment ago, but I mean, cannot stress enough the role of the Holy Spirit in us discovering and fulfilling our purpose. So verse 5, it says, for God intended that your faith not be established on man's wisdom, but by trusting in his almighty power. Verse 6, it says, however, there is a wisdom that we continually speak of when we are among the spiritually mature. It's wisdom that didn't originate in the present age, nor did it come from the rulers of this age who are in the process of being dethroned. Instead, we continually speak of this wonderful wisdom that comes from God, hidden away, hidden before now in a mystery. It is his secret plan, destined before the ages to bring us into glory. In verse 8, it says, none of the rulers of this present world understood it, for if they had, they never would have crucified the Lord of shining glory. In verse 9, it says, this is why the scriptures say, things never discovered or heard before, things beyond our ability to imagine, These are the many things God has in store for all his lovers. I'm going to read that again. Things never discovered or heard before, things beyond our ability to imagine. These are the many things God has in store for all his lovers. So that's me and you guys. In verse 10, it says, but God now unveils these profound realities to us by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. And it says, yes, he has revealed to us his inmost heart and deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all things. In verse 11, it says, after all, who can really see into a person's heart and know his hidden impulses except for that person's spirit? And so it is with God. His thoughts and secrets are only fully understood by his Spirit, the Spirit of God. Verse 12 says, for we did not receive the spirit of this world system, but the Spirit of God, so that we might come to understand and experience all that grace has lavished upon us. So this is worth going back, you guys, and just, you know, looking it up in the Passion Translation, grabbing your copy of the Passion Translation, and honestly looking in other translations as well, just to understand really the role of the Holy Spirit in taking the things that God has planned for us and revealing it to us. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. That's one description of the Holy Spirit that comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verse like 16, I think, 16, 17. And the Holy Spirit is the one that gives us revelation. He is the way that we hear the innermost thoughts of God. It's the way that if you keep reading through 1 Corinthians chapter 2, at the very end of it, it talks about that we possess and the Christ's perceptions. In verse 16, it says, and we possess Christ's perceptions in the Passion Translation. But it's the Holy Spirit that is empowering us to think with the mind of Christ. He is the one that is infusing our life with revelation, knowledge about the gospel, about Jesus, about our inheritance with Christ. He's the one that makes the word of God alive to us so that we can actually understand it. And revelation is very different than information. Revelation is illuminated knowledge by the Holy Spirit. And it is, you know, there's a scripture that talks about how the God of this world has blinded the minds of those that to believe the gospel. And, you know, even in here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it's talking about there's a wisdom of the world, but, you know, there's a wisdom of the age that is not the wisdom of God. In James, it talks about that the wisdom of God comes from above, and it is easy to be entreated, meaning it is, there's two types of wisdom. There's man's wisdom and there's God's wisdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it talks about how he uses the foolish things to confound the wise, and that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. And so, first off, let me say that the first principle that you really need to recognize if you're going to discover and fulfill your purpose, and both of those things are included in that. It's not just about discovering your purpose, but it's also living your purpose. Then we are going to need to recognize that the Holy Spirit is the person that is who is God, obviously, that we are going to be fellowshipping with to discover and live our purpose. The Holy Spirit's role in our lives cannot be overemphasized. I mean, the Holy Spirit is. He's the power of God in our lives to follow Jesus. You know, Christianity has never meant to be, like this set of rules or this moral code that we live. It's meant to be an experience. And it's the experience of being the temple of God and the house of God. And the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us is the manifestation of Jesus Christ on the earth in us right now. He is the Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so cultivating a relationship with the Holy Spirit is so awesome and so powerful and so necessary. He is the one that does the work. You know, Acts 10:38 says Jesus Christ was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Romans chapter 8 says those that are led by the, it's like 8:16, that those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So mature believing and maturity as a believer comes from dependency upon the Holy Spirit. And sadly, you can grow up in church your entire life and never really cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I know I did. I mean, I grew up in the Bible Belt. I grew up in the Southern Baptist Church. And of course, we believed in the Trinity. Of course, we believed in the Holy Spirit. But we did not experience the Holy Spirit to the fullness that honestly was necessary in my life so that I could actually even live the life of a believer. I just was not one of these naturally disciplined, good Christian people. I don't know how to explain that. Like, I needed the power of the Holy Spirit to even be able to read the Bible. I wasn't wired that way. And thank goodness, because when I surrendered to the Holy Spirit, by the time I did surrender and really I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I started to understand who the person of the Holy Spirit. I started to recognize the gifts of the Holy Spirit and that those were for today, that the Holy Spirit is still working miracles through Jesus's body. And I started to understand how the fruit of the Spirit actually was produced in my life through abiding in Christ, that this was not like me developing some character apart from Jesus, but this was about allowing Jesus's life to flow through me. For the very first time in my life, I started really hearing the voice of God and cultivating my own real relationship with Jesus, and being able to talk to Jesus, being able to hear from the Holy Spirit, understanding the Trinity, and that each member of the Trinity was actually distinct, but yet they were one. I mean, just the whole theology around the Trinity and the Holy Spirit and the new creation in Christ. I mean, it really took the Holy Spirit in my life to start to get a grasp on that. And it was through, I believe, that process that I've been spending. I mean, at this point, I'm in my 50s and I have spent, I feel like, my entire life undoing the things that I learned in church and the things that I learned, in the world. And obviously that's what mind renewal is all about. Romans chapter 12 says that we have to renew our minds. And so it's not that I'm complaining. I mean, everyone has to go through this process. But I think, at my vantage point here in my 50s, I have a little bit of life behind me and a little bit of experience to say, in perspective, honestly, of just how transformative mind renewal is, how necessary mind renewal is, and how unbelievably shocking sometimes it is, the things that we actually believe that keep us from discovering our purpose and living it. I mean, all of that programming that I had in my life is like programmed me to believe I was someone I wasn't. It programmed me, just the basics, right? Like, the purpose in my life is to go to college and find a career and get a job and make a living and get married and have children and buy a house and save and get a retirement plan and invest in mutual funds. And then when you're 65, retire and then get a motorhome and travel across the country and do all the things that you couldn't do because you were working your whole life. Like, that version of like what life is, that's what my parents knew. That's what most, people did and do. I mean, I think it's a little different now because it's just a different kind of time that we live in, but there's still that programming that you just get from the world. Like, this is how to live your life, right? And then, and I'm not trying to be critical, but I'm telling you, there is a massive under preaching of the actual gospel of Jesus Christ in this country. And if you want to get a taste of that, listen to my Facebook talk live from Tuesday, because it's shocking. The gospel is literally so revolutionary. It's shocking. And it's about the death of you. It's about the fact that you were crucified with Christ and that you no longer live, and that now Jesus Christ, God of the universe, has come to live inside of you. He's reconciled the entire world to himself. We don't live under the fall anymore. The world is not a fallen world. You are not a sinner. You're now a saint. You've been recreated in Christ Jesus for good works. You have a purpose. Jesus wants to live his life through you. You've been joined to the Lord with one spirit. You're one spirit with God. You're sanctified. You're holy. You're righteous right now. And the only thing left to do is believe that and renew your mind to it so you can experience it. But the point is, and I'm talking fast, but I want to make my actual point. It's not to preach the gospel right this moment. It's to say that most of us haven't heard that. Most of us grew up in an evangelical, Western evangelical worldview that makes the gospel about going to heaven. It programs us with sin consciousness, which ultimately leads to you believing wrong things about yourself and you never being able to discover your true identity because you are sin conscious and you're always focused on what's wrong with you and you have a performance-based relationship with God based upon this. And so, I mean, this is the story of my life. The first 33 years of my life, I mean, I ended up honestly with a, you know, depressed, anxious, had a diagnosis of manic depression. I had a terrible relationship with myself, even though that I was super successful, you know, whatever. I look back at the pictures of me in my 20s, and I mean, you know, you're just like, well, what in the heck did you think was wrong with you? You're adorable. You're cute. Like, why didn't you like yourself? And I wasted so many years just not at peace with myself because you're taught from the time that you are in Sunday school that you are a sinner and that there's something wrong with you. And something fundamentally wrong with you, and Jesus loves you in spite of you. And if you just believe and you just confess Jesus, then you're going to go to heaven. And there is an aspect of that message which is true. I get it. I mean, the fall happened, but it's not your origin. Your origin is not in Adam. Your origin is in Christ. And that's the whole point of the first chapter of Ephesians. It's just like, you know, you were in Christ before the foundation of the world. You were chosen in love to be holy and blameless. You were in Christ before you were in Adam. The original glory precedes original fall. And I mean, I have podcasts on that topic. You should definitely go check out my podcast on iTunes if you haven't. And just listen right through from the beginning to catch up with us. I just did a new episode yesterday, which I'm excited to get back on the train with that. Pandemic and stuff. It's just got us, my team and everything is just different. But my point is this, is that you've got all the stuff that you learn in the world. You've got all the stuff that you learn in church and it confuses the heck out of us. And here we're trying to figure out what's our purpose. Why are we here? What are we born to do? And we've got to sift through all of this garbage to actually even figure out who Jesus is, who God is, what is the gospel. Who am I? Like, in light of that, as a new creation, what does that mean for me? What does that mean for my relationship with myself? What does that mean for my relationship with God? I mean, it is a detox. I mean, you guys pray for me because I have like 10 books that I got to get done. And one of them that I'm going to do is really about just detoxing from religion and really getting. It's really focused most likely probably on the first two questions that I go through in my book. So let me switch gears and talk about the process that I take my students through, that I work through with my clients. It's the foundation that I coach on, and it's an incredible, and I'm not just saying that because it's mine, because truthfully, this is the Holy Spirit. I really can't even take credit for this. The move of God that I'm watching, and just the transfiguration, the transformation that I'm watching the Holy Spirit accomplish in my students and in my clients and the readers of my book, it is not of this world. It is not of human origin. So I'm just the vessel in which God's using to do that. And it's amazing because it is my purpose and I love every second of it, but it is definitely supernatural. But let me talk about it. So the way that God put together my school, helped me put together the book and really walked me through the process, if you will, of this detox from the programming that we've gotten from the world and the programming we've gotten from Western evangelical Christianity, is to go through a conversation with him that is centered around what I call the five big questions of life. And if you've read my book, you know that there's chapters for each one of those questions, but the first question is, who is God? The second question is, who am I? The third question is, why am I here? The fourth question is, where am I headed? And the fifth question is, how do I get there? And I wrote this quote down the other day from Paul Young, and I really liked it. I really liked it. And I'm just going to throw it, just say it right now. It says, it was about questions, and of course I caught it, but it says, choose your question carefully. One good question is worth a thousand answers. So Paul Young, he's the author of the Shack, but that is so true. Choose your questions carefully, because one good question is worth a thousand answers. And honestly, that's the foundation of wisdom. Wisdom is the application or understanding of knowledge. And it's being able to assimilate knowledge and apply it in a way that gets the results that, not just that you're seeking, but the best, highest results. I mean, God's wisdom is, even though it may not make sense to men, it is such a higher, his thoughts are not our, you know, our thoughts, his thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. And so a question, asking the right question, is so important in plugging in to really what the answers that you're looking for. What answers? The answers of the meaning of life, the answers of why am I here? The answers of what's gonna happen after I die? What's gonna matter at the end of my life? I mean, these questions that most people spend their lives either oblivious to, trying to avoid, suppressing, repressing, you know, until they have a tragedy of some kind. I mean, I call them wake up calls in my book. But my point is that those five questions are truly, I call them the five big cues of life, because they really are. And answering those questions is not only the most incredible journey and the most revelation-filled journey and the most glorious journey and a supernatural journey with God, but they are so life-transforming, because each of the answers that you get when you start to be able to experience God and have conversations with God and experience your union with God, when you begin to develop that intimate relationship with Him where you can start to hear His answers, His own God-breathed answers to these questions, it's very hard to describe the process. I mean, it really is the Paul on the road to Damascus kind of experience, because everything changes. Everything changes. The context for your life changes. And the process is very much a detox. And it's also not like an intellectual exercise. Like, it's not like you say, who is God? And then you rattle off, well, God is my provider. He's my healer. He's my father. He's, you know, like you're reading the doxology or you're, you know, reciting one of the creeds or something. No, these are unique answers. These are unique answers to you and your life. And I mean, for example, my who is God answer, I could not have answered if I didn't understand the gospel. I could not have answered if I didn't understand that the gospel was a message about union with Jesus. I literally could not have answered this question until I understood the gospel. And I detoxed from all of the garbage that I had been taught about the nature of God, about, you know, my understanding of the law. I mean, I just was lived such as a legalistic, performance-driven view of God, you know? And so I had to move all of that out of the way so that I could actually hear the answer. So let me give you the answer to mine. And then I'm just going to read a few more from my students, because they're just so powerful. So my answer to the question, who is God, is God is my inexhaustible source who supplies anything and everything I need to experience the fullness of who He is and manifest the fullness of who I am in Him. So that answer, you sit with that for a moment, He's my inexhaustible source who supplies anything and everything I need to so that I can experience the fullness of who He is and manifest the fullness of who I am in Him. Like, that one sentence I'm going to be sitting with for the rest of my life. And what makes it so powerful is that it's not just like, who is God to me? But it's this, this is the way the word of, you know, when you get words from God, the way they work, like they're so multidimensional. You know, this is also part of like who he's created me to be. Like my mission is intertwined with this revelation of God, because part of what I'm here to do is to glorify God as that and to be an example that God is actually the source for all of us to, you know, experience anything. I mean, he's the source of everything, everything that we need to experience all that he is. Well, what is he? He's healing. He's mercy. He's forgiveness. He's supernatural power. He's resurrection power. He's all of those things. And he is the source for me to dive into the revelation of him for all of eternity. And, you know, I've never really like expounded on my who is God like that before, but you'll see like it's so powerful, it'll preach. It will literally preach. And so the answers to these questions are not just like these intellectual exercises that you just like, you know, sit down and go, blah, 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 blah. Like, this is God, da, 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 da. So let me pull up, in one of my graduate groups, we have a document that we actually have put together, because we are serious here about getting people in agreement with who God created them to be. And so we're always, I mean, we have just a lot of things that we do to program that into people. I'm trying to find the document. Maybe I can't find it on my phone. Let me just see if I can't remember a couple of my favorites. I mean, there's a lot of really good ones. So I know what Tracy, one of our team members, but does, one of our mindset coaches, hers is, and it just struck me because I love it. And there's some ones that I remember sometimes just because they stick with me. And hers is, God is the family that I never had, that I always needed and wanted. So God is the family. And Tracy's, not only is she in full-time ministry, but she's in the process of writing a book that is based on the premise that of her revelation of who is God. It's the revelation of God as a triune God, who is our true family, and how he walks us all through a process to parent us and fulfill all of our needs that are typically met in our family of origin. So it's a very powerful topic. But that came out of the revelation of Tracy's who is God. Another one of my favorites, it's a recent grad, Adam, and I don't know why I love this one so much, probably because I'm just an intimacy with God junkie, but his is, I am God, who is God? God is my eternal entanglement. And it's this concept, I mean, without going deep into it, but, you know, quantum entanglement is an actual, you know, I'm a quantum physics, like, you know, whatever, amateur fanatic. And quantum entanglement's intriguing to me, and it's this idea that we, you know, we're entangled, things are entangled at a quantum level. And so I just loved that one. And there's many more that I could go through, but the point is in order to get to that question, it's very much a detox. It's very much a getting through all of the wrong things we actually think about God. And that is no different for the next question, who am I? And, you know, except in this case, you're getting through all of the wrong things you believed about yourself, all of the things that have been programmed into you since your childhood that are not in agreement with who God created you to be, that are not in agreement with, you know, who you are in heaven. And so, you know, that process is hearing Jesus tell you the incredible things that the Father put inside of you. And the you know, this is Jesus saying, you know, I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. Like, those identity statements came from the Father. This is my beloved Son and who I am well pleased. And so God knows us. That's why he would sometimes change people's names, because, you know, you're not Saul, you're Paul. You know, you aren't Simon, you're Peter. Why would he change people's names? Because the way that they had grown up and who they thought that they were was not who they were at all. And there was this drastic shift that had to happen in their self-image and the way that they saw each other so that they could get in agreement with who God created them to be. And, you know, Jeremiah 33:3 is a great scripture. It says, call upon me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you know it's not. And I just want to propose that part of what the great and mighty things that the Holy Spirit wants to share with you is not just who you are in Christ, but who you are in the body of Christ and who you are to the planet and the gift that you carry of Christ into the world. What is that unique expression of you? You know, true success in life is not just fulfilling your purpose and doing the work that the Father called you to do, which is another topic I did, I think, like last week or something. But, I mean, true success is manifesting who God created you to be, which is kind of why I said in my why, or in my who is God, you know, that God is my inexhaustible source who supplies anything and everything I need. But that last part says to manifest the fullness of who I am in him. And that revelation of Shalice for me has been probably the biggest challenge of my entire life. Why? Well, a lot of it has to do with just how I grew up. I mean, I was adopted. I had three dads by the time I was three. I grew up in a home that was, my parents were divorced later in life, and my dad and I have a wonderful relationship today, but it was violence in my home. There was lots of nonsense. I mean, there was just there's a lot of trauma in my childhood, and there was a lot of healing that I had to go through to heal my relationship with myself, and not just even talking about understanding the gospel. So it's been this quest of my life, really, to get to know God and to get to know myself and to reconcile all of that. You know, that's the point. God was in Christ reconciling the cosmos to himself. And that reconciliation with God and that reconciliation with myself, and now my reconciliation with, you know, all of creation and others and all of that stuff has had to flow out of, honestly, a very deep and long process with the Holy Spirit. And it's really what qualifies me, honestly, to do what I do today, which I love about the purposes of God. I'm not behind schedule. I'm not like, I didn't do something wrong. Like, God weaved my purpose throughout all of those life experiences, and it perfectly prepared me and qualified me and shaped and equipped me to be the author of a book called The Path and to be the founder of a school called Emerge School of Transformation and to be running a company that's called Rethink. I mean, my life story is manifesting through my purpose. And that is the beauty of the third question. You know, why am I here? Because what happens, you know, when you go through the methodology in the book or you work with me and we go way more in depth than we do in the book, is that you find that your life story, there's a thread of purpose that just goes through your entire life story. And it is glorious. It is glorious. It is so, so glorious. And here's the other thing that starts to happen is everything in your life starts to make sense. Like even the trauma, even the bad things. I mean, what the enemy means for harm, God uses for good. And so everything starts to shift as yes, there's a healing that happens, but you also, it's kind of like the Apostle Paul's life. You know, he goes into Philippians chapter 3 and he's like, you know, I was a bit, you know, Israelite of Israelites. I was this. And he says that, you know, I counted all loss. I counted all done for the excellency of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. But the truth is, all of that knowledge that Paul gained growing up as a Hebrew of Hebrews perfectly equipped him to be the apostle that carried the revelation of Jesus that was about the fulfillment of the law. Here he was an expert in the law, and now he had to, basically, his whole message was, that's been abolished. And so it's a very, I mean, it is the wisdom of God. It is just beyond our ability to make up, you know, like, how could that, my life, just be perfect for what I'm doing? How could God put all of those pieces together into something and make something so beautiful out of, you know, something that appeared to be so wrong or ashes or whatever you want to call it? And that process is just the most, again, it's just, I don't have words for walking through that with the Holy Spirit and discovering that and walking it out. And, you know, then where am I headed and how do I get there? Those questions are all around, you know, the vision that you have for your life. It's like, what are we building? What are we doing? Where am I headed? What am I going to be, you know, what is my contribution to the planet? What is the cause that I'm here to take up? You know, what is the legacy that I'm going to leave, Lord? And just walking through the process of dreaming and getting getting detoxing from the idea that somehow your purpose and your vision is not perfectly aligned with your deepest desires, your most sacred desires and dreams. And giving yourself permission to become like a little child again and just dream. You know, we do some exercises. I'm not sure I do it in the book. I can't remember what all I do, what the exercises are that I do in the book. But I know in our school, we do this thing called dreamstorming, where I ask my students to, you know, come up with 100 dreams. And literally some of my students, they get mad at me. They really get mad at me because they're like, it's so hard. Our dreamers have been so shut down and we've been so programmed by religion to not even have a desire. Like, you know, it's like holy to be like, I just want what God wants, whatever God has for me. That's what I want. And we don't realize, because we've been programmed by religion, that God's already given us everything that heaven contains. So there aren't like really illegal desires beyond ones that aren't, you know, in agreement with perfect love and joy and peace and righteousness and the Holy Ghost. And, you know, so all things are made for us to enjoy, to freely enjoy. And his presence is the full, you know, the fullness of joy. And it is right hand pleasure forevermore. Like, pleasure is of God. It's not wrong. The devil hijacked it, but it doesn't mean that it's wrong. He's the author of it. And, you know, we just have so many things to even have to, we have to just, you know, get rid of to be able to even receive God's vision, because it's so good, we're suspicious of it. We think, oh, well, that is selfish, or we can't have that, or I'm unworthy of that, or we think all of these things about it because we haven't gotten clear on the gospel. And we don't understand that we live in union with God and that heaven is inside of it. Like, it's already ours. This is an inheritance. We're not earning it. We're just manifesting it. And these dreams glorify God because they manifest heaven on earth. And like, it's a, just a completely different perspective. It's a different world, right? And then how do I get there? Well, you know how you get there? You get there by abiding. You get there by understanding how to manifest heaven on earth and how to live supernaturally. Because this is not, you're not going to like get this plan and this vision from God and then, you know, go off and go do it and then come and check in. Well, he's going to do it through you. You're going to manifest sonship, and you're going to create things the same way that God created them, supernaturally. And so there is a incredible journey that we go through, that those of us go through, those of us choose to go through to manifest who God's created us to be. And when you look around the planet, you know, and you see people that you just know, like, they were born for that and they're doing that. Like, there is something glorious about it. You know, I didn't plan anything that I said today. I knew I was going to do a topic today on, you know, the five questions and, you know, kind of dive into this stuff in the book a little bit. But, you know, this, what's coming out of me is supernatural. Like, I don't even really know how I'm doing this. This is a gift, that the ability to weave this all together and the ability to talk about it, for it to come out the way that it comes out. I mean, it is, that is the sweet spot. This is the sweet spot of purpose. This is the sweet spot of living in Christ and the anointing and getting into this place where you have grace, this supernatural Holy Spirit grace on your life to do things that are so uniquely perfect and designed for them to be done by you. There's no reason to be a copycat. There's no reason to compare yourself to others. You are an original. You are an incredible masterpiece, a work of art, and there is none like you. There's none like you. Like, I know, say, oh, Father, there's none like you. Well, guess what? There's none like you. You are a unique member of the body of Christ. You are needed. Who you are was purposed in the heart of God before the foundation of the world. You've been predestined for good works. And there are paths that God, you know, set out ahead of you. And, you know, here's the thing, I think, when you really start to get what I'm sharing today, is the excuses and the things that stand in our way of our purpose are human deceptions. All of them. Whether that be, I don't have the provision to do it. Well, of course you don't. God's calling you to do something that's going to glorify him. He, at no flesh is going to glory. So this isn't going to bring, this isn't about what you can do. It's about what God can do. So the financial piece is obviously required, You know, we have to have finances to make the earth look like heaven. We have to have finances to do visions and dreams. It takes money. It takes money. But there is a system. There is a way of manifesting unlimited amounts of money in the kingdom. And here's the thing. We don't get to go through life without learning these things if we're going to manifest our purpose. So I'm not saying that to condemn anyone. I'm just saying that every perceived obstacle in our path to fulfilling our purpose is literally just a mindset that needs to be renewed. And that process is not always easy. We read in the Bible all of the people that, you know, did fulfill their purpose and all the trials and the tribulations and the things that they went through to prepare them. And, you know, that half of the Israelites or many of the Israelites, the whole first generation, didn't make it into the promised land because they couldn't get their mindsets right. Our mindsets are everything. And honestly, that's why I believe God has called me to structure the call of God on my life as a coach. You know, is it really apostolic and prophetic and teaching? 100%. I mean, I pastored for 8 years. I've been in ministry, some form of ministry, since the early 2000s. So I've been in that traditional world of what ministry looks like. But I also know that there's a large percentage of the body of Christ right now who's not living their purpose, who doesn't know their purpose and isn't living it. And there's something that the existing structure of the way Christianity functions that is not working. It's not putting people in purpose. It's not raising up sons and daughters of God. It's creating fellowship. I mean, there's lots of good fruit that it does. But it was very clear to me that I had to leave that traditional wineskin, or whatever you want to call it, so that God could connect me supernaturally with the people that he wanted to connect me with and raise up people that were willing to sell out, willing to, you know, to go through this detox process and truly shed everything that needs to be shed so that they could carry significant influence and actually change the world. I mean, my students are called to do amazing things. My graduates are building ridiculous visions. And I couldn't be more blessed to be doing what I'm doing, the way that we're doing it, and just loving the uniqueness of it, the way that it fits me perfectly, and just honestly, the fruit of it. The fruit of it is the point. You know when you're in that place and just the fruit of what you're doing is obviously God. It's just not human. So anyway, that's I wanted to share a little bit about, you know, kind of give you some context around the book and the journey that I take you through in the book. Talk a little bit more about the process that I take my clients and my students through, and give you really a very straight talk. I mean, if you're part of this group, you know, I am a straight shooter. Like, I am direct. I say it, and I love you. I totally love you enough to say it. I'm not saying it to make anybody mad or upset anybody. I'm just saying somebody needs to tell us. Somebody needs to tell us what's up. Because otherwise, we don't know. We don't know. I didn't know this until I knew it. And I don't get to be quiet about it. And I got to share it. So I'm sharing these things with you to, you know, let you know, like, there's resources. There is a plan. You can get into your purpose the same way that I have and my readers and my students are doing. So what's next? Well, there's a couple of options, right? You dive into my book and you treat it like it's one of the most important things you've ever done, right? I download it for free. You can go get it. Get your hard copy on Amazon. I don't even know how much they charge for it, but it's not expensive. And work through it like your life depended on it, because it does. It really, really does. And the process works. I have 100% of my graduates that graduate the program hearing God on demand, knowing their purpose, and able to transition into it in 90 days. And if you feel called to work with me, then, you know, schedule a breakthrough call. The link is here. Talk with my coaching staff, and we'll talk to you about Emerge. We'll talk to you about the school. We'll hook you up with, you know, there's testimonies on the page here. I mean, we'll hook you up with the process that we're taking people through in 3 months. You'll have those answers to the 5 Qs. And if there's any obstacle in the way of that, we will also stand with you and agree with that, whether that's provision, whether that's a spouse, whatever it is. Like, we We stand for the manifestation of the sons of God every single day. It's our job to move those, help you move those obstacles by the power of God, move those obstacles out of the way and get you on the path to purpose. So anyway, you guys, I've got a couple of students on here today. Let's see who we've got. Lori's a graduate. Janie's in the program. Cassie is in. So there's several of you guys watching today, and there's, you know, folks on the replay that will watch that, you know, can truly vouch for the work that we're doing and talk about how life transformed it is. So I am so glad you're here in the group. You know, definitely check out my podcast. It's over on iTunes. You can just search my name. There's other platforms too. I think Google Play. I don't know all of them, but you can find my podcast. Grab the book, schedule the call, you know, get engage in the group. We're here to serve you. If you've got questions, ask them. If there's any way that we can serve you, we're happy to do that. You can email us at info@shalise.com. Love you. I'm excited. It's Friday. It's the weekend. And I've been running 90 to nothing. So I'm looking forward to doing nothing. I really am. I know my kids want to go shopping or something tomorrow, but I don't know. All these masks and everything, having to go out is, I don't even know what's open sometimes. So anyway, but we'll figure it out. We'll do something. We'll cook out. I don't know what we'll do, but I love you guys. I love you guys. I love you guys. And I believe in you. I believe in you. And the anointing on my life is to do that. I have an incredible grace from the Holy Spirit to believe in people. And it's awesome to see you as you are in heaven. So I love you guys. Yes, Janie, you're so welcome. You guys have a great weekend.